The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning to you. How are you?
Booker Tour, yeah, everybody's wrapped up. Snow on the Hermon. It is definitely much cooler. We've had quite a lot of rain.
Oh, that's good news.
And interestingly, the rocket fire that we spoke about yesterday may well have been caused by a thunderstorm. This is now the latest that I've read. Two rockets that were fired northward towards Ashdod landed in the sea yesterday. We had a chat about this. The IDF even responded to those two rockets. The latest reports that I read suggest that the launching device may well have been hit by lightning in one of the storms, which has activated, which could have activated this rocket. I don't have firm.
Yeah, one would think that rocket launchers would have some kind of a lightning protection, wouldn't you?
Some sort of a safety catch. Yeah, one would think so. But you know, I suppose you could view it in two ways. First of all, you could say, well, this was an error. The IDF shouldn't have responded in the way that they did. And so, you know, all apologies should be issued. On the other hand, one could say, why were those rockets out there anyway, ready to be launched in the thunderstorm? And why were there these underground digging facilities that the IDF attacked? So I think, you know, perhaps all is legitimate in love and war, especially when things like that happen. But yeah, I mean, that certainly has been raised as a possibility. So just an interesting little update on one of the stories that we discussed yesterday.
Very, very interesting. Initial reports conducted in Israel shows a huge increase in immunity against COVID-19 after receiving the second vaccine.
What details do we know? We've heard a lot about the fact that Israel is being used as some sort of a research center, given the number of vaccinations that are being applied. I think we are pretty much leading the world, as far as I can gather, in terms of percentage of population vaccinated. And we understand that the deal with Pfizer is that they will continue to provide us with the next necessary vaccines, in return for which Israel will provide research data, will provide information about how things are going, about what we've discovered, about any reactions, about interesting things that may have happened arising from these vaccines, which Pfizer hasn't been able to gather up until now because of the rushed nature of the approval process that we've seen for these vaccines. And so there is this research that's being conducted at Sheba Medical Center, Tel HaShomer Hospital near to Tel Aviv. More than 1,000 medical staff have joined this particular research, people who've been vaccinated, members of staff of the hospital, and there will be a study conducted with the aim of continuing to track the level of antibodies over time to see how long it takes before they start fading, any potential side effects, and so on. And the initial results of 102 people who were vaccinated and who were then examined after their vaccinations a week after the second dose has shown that whereas something like 50% of them showed antibodies before they received their second jab, this number jumped to 98% who presented higher levels of antibodies after the second vaccination. So I think that, you know, the research is certainly showing positive things, things that we are hoping to see, rather than some scary things that we might see because of the fact that we haven't had enough time to really understand the consequences of the vaccine. So people are watching these kind of studies with a lot of interest, even though we continue to be vaccinated at quite a rapid rate, 186,000 inoculations issued yesterday. 114,000 people were given a second dose. 72,000 were given their first dose. There are now almost 500,000 Israelis who have already received their second jab, and over 2.2 million who have already received the first jab and who are obviously in the line waiting for the time to pass until they can receive their second vaccination. So those are the numbers. Unfortunately, the virus continues to take hold. The latest that we hear is that pregnant women have become very, very susceptible to the virus. Some harrowing stories about women who are pregnant, who are seriously ill at the moment. We understand that another 8 pregnant women are considered to be seriously ill as of today. One woman had her baby delivered by cesarean section at 31 weeks in an emergency. Mm. Unfortunately, the baby didn't survive, lasted 2 days, and unfortunately then passed away. The mother herself, who has five other children, continues to fight for her life in very, very serious condition in hospital. So this is something which is really attacking younger and fitter people. That's what we've seen, the trend, the way that things are going here at the moment. And so obviously the move to vaccinate people is really being stepped up in an attempt to try somehow to arrest the rate at which the virus is taking hold. Unfortunately, those communities who really need the vaccination, the Haredi community and the Arab communities, are the ones who are particularly getting less vaccines than other people. They're showing higher rates of infection, and also as a percentage of population are less likely to show up to get vaccinated. So there is a lot of work that's going on around those communities right now in order to encourage people to become vaccinated. We do have stories of people who have received two vaccinations and nevertheless have been infected by the virus. Former Chief Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau is one of those. He was infected by his wife. His grandson took to social media to announce that his grandfather had also been diagnosed with coronavirus. He's 83 years old. It's going to be interesting for me to watch how he responds, whether the fact that he's been vaccinated already with both jabs means that he will somehow be able to fight off the virus that he has in a stronger way than would otherwise potentially have been the case. So I think that
certainly from the article also that I've been reading around that, and from what Anton Marburg is saying, is his response to it definitely does seem to be a lot milder, probably because of the vaccination.
Probably. I mean, we're jumping to conclusions in some respects. I mean, sometimes it's, you know, see cause and effect. Just cause and effect, and therefore we jump to a conclusion about what the cause and effect is. But it seems, at least for now, that he's doing okay. And one imagines one can, you know, jump to a conclusion, albeit not particularly scientific, that maybe the vaccination is helping his response. So, yeah, I mean, a few interesting things. The other piece of information that has leaked out into the press is exactly what the vaccinations have cost Israel. There's some report that I saw suggested that on a per person basis, it's costing Israel $47 to get vaccinated. Each person in Israel, it's costing the government effectively because people are not being required to pay $47 per person. It's an interesting discussion about the economics of health.
I would imagine, never mind the health aspect and the humanitarian aspect of it, I would imagine that getting an economy back to work, getting children back to school, I think that's pretty cheap at the price. I'd love our listeners' thoughts. 34519 or 0618951019. Sorry, Anthony.
What I was going to say is that a lot of people are saying that, you know, we're just paying over the odds. In other words, the $47 is not really what it costs, but, you know, it's supply and demand.
Who
and
cares?
Demand
Who
is
cares?
High,
you know, you can,
you're going to be paying over the odds. The cost perhaps is much less. There are reports that other countries are paying less. Is that something that we should be worrying about right now, haggling down to the last dollar or cent here and there in the interest of our health? I mean, all I can say is that whatever we've done, we seem to have secured enough supply to vaccinate the people who need to be vaccinated. That's really what counts. Could we have done it at a lower price? I'm sure that there are wheelers and dealers out there who are sure that they could have done a better deal, but they weren't available or weren't at the coalface when the moment was required. So it is what it is, I suppose. I think we need to accept it and move on.
Absolutely. And my view is that I think it's cheap at the price. 430 terror attacks were reported to have been prevented during 2020. 430. That's a big number.
It is a big number. And, you know, one doesn't really know exactly how those numbers are put together, but we have come some quite specific information from the Shabak, from the General Security Service, who claim that they prevented 283 shooting attacks, 70 stabbing attacks, 10 ramming attacks, and 62 bombings and 5 kidnappings. Those are the statistics that they've produced to justify the 430 terror attacks that were prevented in 2020. I think, you know, whether we believe their particular numbers or not, it just shows that we're still living in an environment where we have to be ultra cautious, that there are people who still have the intention of harming people on the street, innocent civilians on the street, and that we have to be very grateful to our army and to our security services for the work that they do. By the way, that number of 430 is down from 2019, when there were 563 attacks that were prevented, and in 2018, 581. So there is certainly over the last 3 years a decrease in the number of attacks that were prevented by our General Security Service. But even if it was one or two or five or ten attacks, I think that the work that they're doing is really holy work and work that we should be very grateful for, because it allows us to maintain our lives as we know it today, albeit not lives that we necessarily would like to be leading, but at least from a security point of view, we know that they're out there working on our behalf. And many of these attacks actually were prevented even before they were allowed to get off the ground. Plans were made, certain intelligence was gained in order to be able to intercept the attack even before the people who were going to carry out these attacks were allowed out of their homes and got on their way to carry out the attacks. So I think we have to be grateful to the people who are putting their lives at risk, to the level of intelligence that's being gathered, the smart way in which information is being gathered. And I think that the Jews in the diaspora have an equal amount to be grateful for, because even though they might not have been directly at risk as a result of these attacks, there is certainly a link between the safety of Jews in the diaspora and the safety of Jews in Israel, to the extent that Jews are more secure in Israel. It is at least my belief, understanding, my view, that Jews are more secure in the diaspora as well.
Absolutely. It's a very, very, very interesting conversation. And Unsigned says, since the report came out, many are very critical, apparently, about Netanyahu paying double for the vaccine. Doesn't it raise a question about his Jewishness? What kind of Jewish person pays retail, let alone double retail?
A lot of questions have been asked about that, but it's all about the headlines, right? As long as you have the vaccine, not everybody necessarily will look at the profit and loss account.
Absolutely. And Clive said, of course, someone is making a lot of money from the vaccine. Well, you know what? I think if they're getting the vaccine, look, I don't know, maybe I just see things very differently. It's a priority. It's keeping people healthy and alive. It's protecting citizens. It's humanitarian, in every respect. And then once the vaccine is effective, then you can get your population back to work.
It may well be that price had to be paid in order to accelerate the vaccine that we're receiving, because there aren't any other countries, as far as I'm aware. I mean, I know the UK is rolling out a massive vaccination program, also vaccinating hundreds of thousands of people a day, and their vaccine, in the large part, is locally produced, or at least one of them that they're using is locally produced, but they're acquiring the others. It's not clear how much they're paying for their vaccines. But I think that if Israel had to have been paying less, or had been agreed to or decided that they weren't going to pay more than a certain amount, we may well have found ourselves in a situation where we're wanting to vaccinate people and there simply isn't enough supply because that vaccine has gone elsewhere.
Absolutely. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, that's where we leave it.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.